Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. If you're visiting with us today, you're particularly welcome. And we give a very warm welcome to Al, who is something of a resident speaker with us at the minute. Very good to have him again. A few announcements for you folks. First of all, Youth Fellowship is meeting tonight, 7:30, over in the loft, when the speaker will be Alistair McFarland from CEF. Then the PW Visitors Night is on Tuesday of this week, Tuesday the 8th at 7:30. The speaker is Stephanie Duke. Says here she writes a blog about her life and faith. There will be purchases, or you can make purchases on the night, as she is a Neil's Yard consultant. So all ladies are encouraged to come to that. And please note the earlier time, 7:30. The midweek continues as usual, duly, that is both by Zoom and in person. If it's in person, if you're going in person, it's over in Glenhoy. That's 8 o'clock. It is really just a prayer, an opening prayer, a closing prayer. The chunk in the middle is Bible study. It is not an excellent Bible study, I should say, by Edwin. It is not intimidating. So if you are slightly timid, just link on by Zoom and see what you think. The Youth Club will be on Friday, the 18th of March at 7 o'clock, and leaders are asked to meet at 6:30 or shortly thereafter. Then there's an announcement about the glebe lands. You can read the details on that from the leaflet that you got on the way in. COVID regulations remain that we are to wear masks entering and leaving, but you can take them off when you're in the church, but please wear them when singing. And as always, if you do test positive during the week, please let us know. Then, just to mention our sympathy and prayers to Marina Trimble, whose mother died last weekend and who was buried on Tuesday. So we remember Marina, William and the family, and also the Fraser family and the Robinson family, who have both had recent bereavements as well. And then finally, and really importantly, we are all very conscious of the situation in Ukraine at the minute. And to that end, there is a moderator's appeal. Now, I will read you just one paragraph from the letter that has come out here. This is from the moderator. In anticipation of your response, we, that is PCI, are immediately releasing £60,000 to be distributed equally to PCI's relief and development partners, Tear Fund and Christian Aid, and also to the Reformed Church in Hungary. They are all experienced in supplying and distributing humanitarian aid and assistance, not least to refugees and to displaced people fleeing regions of conflict, and whenever possible will extend their reach into Ukraine itself. Obviously, this is an extremely worthy cause, and there will be an opportunity for you to give over the next couple of Sundays. There will be a plate available. Please put your donations in an envelope, clearly marked for the moderator's appeal, so that we know what it's for. And we will forward that to, as it were, top up the fund from which this 60,000 has just been, as I say, already sent. These are all the announcements. Thank you. And again, I'll hand over to you, and thank you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Back again. I'm glad I come back, because I'd left my head torch last week, but I'd forgot that who was here last week? Some of you were here, okay. No one must have been up here, because no one rung me up about it, but didn't need it. I wasn't going to the Marble Arch Caves or anything. I've got my wee head torch, but do you know what? Edwin rung me on Monday, and our prayers and hearts go out to him and his family for the loss of their dad. But I knew I was coming down here again. It's a joy to come down. Lovely spring afternoon, isn't it? And they've cut the silage already out in the garden. having the first silage cut of the year. My father-in-law talks about it, and his is normally done about July time because everything's a bit later than up in Lisburn. But it's good. We can rejoice at the springtime. It is come. We rejoice in God, and our hearts and prayers continue to go out, as our elder says, to that country of Ukraine. And we just pray for God to move into that situation. But I was thinking about that today, as I was preparing this morning, my only devotional quiet time, and I started reading Psalm 46, and it speaks about God, and for us as Christians to be reminded of who God is. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. On reading that together, we now come and we praise God together with our first hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's stand together and sing to God. Into worship today, and we say thank you for your love towards us. Grace and mercy toward us is wonderful. It is great. We live by faith, and we know that in that personal way you love us. Lord, we know our faith rests in you and rests in you alone. We endeavour each day to trust and to obey you, the only living and true God. We come with contrite hearts today, and we say sorry for our wrongdoings, that sin that takes a grip on us each day of our earthly lives. Lord, we ask you continue to forgive us. Our faith depends on Christ alone. It is not speculative uncertainty, but our trust is in our great and our sovereign Father. Our faith is being sure of what we hope for, uncertain of what we do not see. Lord, just thank you for just now for our young sister. Just be near to her and close to her and her family. Lord, thank you that she's able to walk and get up safely today. Things come to us unexpectedly. We don't know what's around the next corner. Although our lives are mapped out before us all. But they're mapped out also for each one of us to fulfill that great commission in this place. We do that today by coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we praise your holy name. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bible with you, we're going to read together from the book of Acts in chapter 3. We're reading through verses 1 through 10. Remember last week I was speaking about light. I was speaking about being able to see. And today I'm speaking about how Peter and John, they meet a person that is crippled, someone that is lying down on the ground. And God does a work in their lives and they're raised up to health and strength again. So we're reading today from the book of Acts in chapter 3, verses 1 through to 10. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Finish there at verse 10. We know God will bless this reading to each one of our hearts just now. Things do happen unexpectedly, don't they? Things happen unexpectedly. Yet God tells us in his word, young people at heart, and those that are younger than me, and that's a lot of people here today, God tells us something that I read in Psalm 46 at the start. It's there, it says this. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's what it says, young people, boys and girls. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's what God tells us. He says, "Be still." That's hard, isn't it? It's hard for us to be still, isn't it? It's hard to sit still. It takes you all your time. If this wee minister with ginger hair and glasses goes on a bit, that's hard to sit still for him. Isn't that right? Even he struggles to sit still for most moments in time. My wife would tell me that. But I don't know this week. It was something I did on Tuesday. I couldn't understand it. It was Tuesday it happened. What happened was this. I was up like a lark, as I normally up. Then Emma, the 5-year-old, she was up. And then Jack was up. Harry's still sleeping in because he's nearly a teenager. But Grace got up, my wife. And all of a sudden, she headed across into the kitchen. And she got the frying pan out. This was Tuesday morning. Did anyone get the frying pan out on Tuesday morning? Did anyone? Yes, lady at the back. Did anyone else get the frying pan? Why would she got the frying pan? Now, her hubby probably gets a fry every day. I don't know. But this particular occasion, it was a certain day. I'll give you a clue. Now shout out if you know it. You get the frying pan, put some oil in it, and you throw something up, and you watch it doesn't stick to the ceiling, and it comes down again. Pancakes! Who made pancakes on Tuesday? You made very good. Okay, oh, we all made pancakes, didn't we? It's great. I love mine with Nutella on them. Isn't that great? I could just eat the Nutella directly from the bottle, but you meant to put it on your pancakes. And we like making pancakes. Now, maybe your mommy's or grandmother or whoever's got a secret recipe. And what is it with putting pancakes? You get the eggs, not right? You get eggs. And what else? What else do you put in the mix? Who made them from scratch with the mix? Oh, there's not too many hands. Some, because there's another way of doing it, man. There's another way of doing it, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. And but you get eggs, and you get, is it baking powder or baking soda? Which one do you put in? Powder. That's right. That's where mine went wrong, then. But and then you put flour in it. And what else do we need? Is there anything else? Buttermilk. That's it, the buttermilk. That's it. It goes off very quick. It's very yellow looking to start with, isn't it? Yeah, but it is buttermilk. So you put the mixture together in the right quantities. You mix it all together and you make the paste. Oh, there's another batter. That's it. I'm up to speed with making pancakes. So because I watched it, how it all happened. Although I need someone in again next year to do it for me. So it's very handy and you have lovely pancakes. Lovely fluffy pancakes. But see if you're handy like I am. I'm very handy. And many of us can be too handy. You can go down to a local shop and you can buy a bottle of stuff. And it's already mixed up. And you just give it a shake. And then you get the frying pan out and you pour it in. And it's done and dusted. Who does that? No one's going to admit to that, sure not, about all the home bakers about here. So we did that. Well, I did that. My wife mixed it from scratch. So handy, isn't it? That's the easy option. Or maybe you're a person like me, and you just go into the freezer and you lift this out and you put this into this wee box. It's got a door and it's called a ding-ding machine. Who's got a ding-ding machine? You've got a ding-ding machine, yes. A microwave. Everyone has a ding-ding machine. There wasn't that 100 years ago, ding-ding machines. I'm professional at using one of the ding-ding machines. I can go all day using a ding-ding machine. And it's dead handy. What you do, you get something and you put it in and you can defrost it. I've learnt that. You've got to defrost the thing. And then you set the time. And within 3 minutes, you have this great food. No, you don't really. Sure, it's not. It's not really great. But it does the job. Or maybe you're like me and you got up there this morning and I used the ding-ding machine. Who used their ding-ding machine this morning? Yeah, you all use the ding-ding machine. And I thought to myself, I'll make myself something for breakfast. It's going to be great. And it only requires about 3 or 4 minutes in the ding-ding machine. So know what it was? What did I have? It's always good. There was Daddy Bear, and there was Mummy Bear, and there was Baby Bear. So what do you think I had? Porridge. I had my porridge. See this person, Quaker? I don't know if that's a male or a female. I don't know that wee picture. You know, Quaker's oats, they've been about forever. But now they do one. I never get it right. They either do one you can't go wrong with. You can do this in the ding-ding machine. Look at that. A wee satchel. What you do is, man, this is dead easy, dead easy. And you just pour, open it up, pour it in, add milk, give it a stir, fire it in the ding-ding machine. Or you can do it in the hob, and it works. It's instant. It's immediate. You can't go wrong with it. Now, what else? Let's see what else we've got. What else could you do in it? Anyone any ideas? Ah, our Harry loves the pasta now. Harry, you don't go to a nice restaurant in Belfast for nice Italian pasta. There's Bachelor's, does one there. Okay, now, you don't just add the water into the pack from the boiling kettle. You don't do that. That's been attempted. That doesn't work. And shake it, all right? Doesn't work. You've got to put this one into a pot. And you're learning all these cooking tips, aren't you? Right? You're learning all these this morning. So you add it in, give it a stir, and instantly, you know, nearly instantly, you have a little pasta dish. Okay, our Harry loves that. What else? You get up in the morning, and I don't know about this, but I bought one of these fluffing machines lately. You know, you put the milk in, and the fluff up, and then you add the fluff to the fluffy milk to something really nice. Mmm. What do you think? Who likes that stuff? Hot chocolate. Everyone loves the hot chocolate. Who puts marshmallows in the hot chocolate? Oh, we've one there. Anyone else going to admit? Oh, yes, marshmallows. Okay, we're not making that now. But do you know what? You ask Edwin. You ask Edwin to do that for you sometime, won't you? You do that. That's by the way. Now, hot chocolate, right? So it's dead handy. You just get the chocolate and you can have it really strong or whatever, and you just add the water to it. Right. Ah, this is something. This is difficult. First, this, you do not put the tin in to a microwave. It will explode. And yes, I've never done that, honest. But when you take, who loves those? There's Heinz. Yeah, baked beans. Here's a tip. So when you're putting the baked beans in and you maybe even put a wee cover over them, don't do them too long. See the inside of the microwave? Oh, see getting the baked beans off the microwave? Oh, such a job. That's a handling. They're risky. You're safer doing that on the pot. Just the pot on the hob, you know. Last thing. You'll get this one. Give you a clue. And don't say ginger. Rhubarb. And custard. In the last church, I said rhubarb, and I said ginger. Because they're looking at me with ginger hair, aren't they? And the clerk said it too, and he has ginger hair. But custard. You make custard from scratch. I don't know how to do that. If you watch MasterChef and all that stuff, you know how to do that. But this is near instant. You put this in sort of wee paste and you make it. I like real thick custard. Really thick. And if you let it go cold, it nearly like standing. I love that. But rhubarb and custard. Isn't it wonderful how we can make stuff instantly? It wasn't like that years ago. I got a slow cooker for our wedding 15 years ago. It's still in the roof space, slow cooker. And because I thought to myself, it'll take ages cooking the food. So I don't use it. Because I like things done instantly. I like things done very quickly. But isn't that what our lives are like? Everyone is such a rush. We have to get up in the morning to go to school. We have to have our break, have our lunch, and then it's time to come home. And whether we're going to the office or to work or whatever, everything is instant. Everything has to be done so quick. But the Bible tells us something different, doesn't it? Remember what I read? Be still and know that I am God. God tells us as Christians to be still. Actually take a minute and be still. When we're so busy during the day, whatever we're doing, actually stop for a minute. We don't have to be full on all day. It's actually be still. And God says that's the best thing for us. Because when we're still, we can get to know God better. Yes, he's done the work at Calvary for us. We've been saved because of Jesus. But do you see the bit from being saved and going to meet him? That bit in between is quite a busy time. It's a bit, and we can be as busy as we want to be. But also we can be still because he tells us to do that. And when we're still, we actually get to know God better. That's what we need to do as Christians and boys and girls, isn't it? To get to know God better, to take time. God knows us. But for us to get to know God, we read his word, we come to church, we pray. We trust in him, and that's what it's about. It's about just trusting him. So it's good to be still. So next time you're using the ding-ding machine, or next time you're doing something, whatever that is, just take a minute, take a step back, have a wee seat, don't fall asleep or anything, but just take a wee minute and reflect and just say, God, I love you. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And I just want to trust you all the days of life. Maybe you'll do that, young people. Now, we're going to have a hymn just now. It's your song. And we'll sing together, O God of Faith. So let's stand together. much for us to pray for. Our God is a God of miracles, and our God is a God who cares and loves and has compassion. His heart breaks at what's going on in our world today. So let's just bring these things to God just now. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the many people throughout the world that have come to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, and that together we make up the body of Christ and are united in him. May we be faithful to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they may be. We pray that each one may be filled to overflowing with the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Each of your children be granted all spiritual wisdom, grace, and understanding and love for each other, so that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we may walk worthy of our calling in Christ. We pray that your church may grow together in unity and love, not compromising with worldly standards, but walking in spirit and in truth, and living a life that is pleasing to you in thought, word, and deed. Strengthen each one of us, we pray, with all power according to your riches in glory, so that together as one we may show forth the beautiful fruit of the Spirit and be endowed with steadfastness and patience, wisdom and all love. Father, we pray today especially for all those that are affected by this COVID epidemic. We ask you to take fear and anxiety and feelings of isolation from people receiving treatment or even residing at home. Give each one of us a sense of purpose in pursuing health and protecting others from exposure. We ask for protection for families and friends and bring peace to all who love them. Oh, our hearts go out, dear Father, to the country and people of Ukraine. We're hearing there of so many people displaced. 1.3 million have left the country. It is a terrible thing to see war and the ravages of war. Lord, we just thank you that we're able as a congregation and as a church to enter in and help in an appeal to help in a small but able way to that country of Ukraine. Lord, and we pray for our neighboring countries as well. Thank you in Christ, we're united. But thank you, in Europe, they're more united than ever as they deal with that situation that is unfolding day by day. Even with our own congregation, we think of those that are laid aside with sickness, for those this week that sorrow and mourn, especially for Edwin and Joanne, for the family circle. Be near and be close. And thank you for the love of this congregation towards the Mounts family with the loss of Edwin's Dolly. But aren't we reminded there in your word to look to Jesus? Keep us ever looking to Jesus. And may the wonder and joy we have in him continue to grow in his grace until we stand before his very presence, when he comes to take us to be with himself forever. Thank you that your word contains all we need to live godly lives in Christ and to walk in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Bishop of London in 1973 to 81 was a man called Gerard Ellison. And he asked the question, what is salvation? He answers, it is the putting of a man right with God, not by anything he does. He cannot merit it, nor can he earn it. It is something which God gives him. It is offered freely and unconditionally, and is offered to everyone, regardless of race or color. It is there to be claimed. Where is it to be found? In and through the person of Jesus Christ. All that is needed is for a person to enter into that relationship with him. And we call this trust. That's what we're going to focus today on, is trust. Trust is something we all do, don't we? When we put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Jennifer Benson Schultz comments something about trust. Trust is believing God is in control of everything, the one who helps us to live wisely in this world as we commit all our plans to him. Believing in God who is in control of everything, the one who helps us to live wisely in this world as we commit our plans to him. It's all about trust, giving our lives over to him. When we waken up in the morning, we don't know what this day brings, but it's just trusting in God to help us through and to guide us through. I live on the edge of Lisburn, 8 miles from Belfast. I look down the Lagan Valley, and as I follow the River Lagan down into Belfast, we come down to the shipyard, and I see Samson and Goliath. I wouldn't want to be painting them. They are big cranes, aren't they? Samson and the Goliath. They stand as towers of strength. Precision engineering used throughout the years to build those amazing ships. As those amazing ships sail out of the port and out into the world. Sadly, like many industries, they are in decline. The shipyard's in decline. The great industries that once were out and about in our land, they're in decline. The young people have moved, haven't they? Young people, the brain drain, as they call it, they've moved across the water. They've maybe went to university and they stayed there. But yet visitors will come to our capital city. They'll go down to the Titanic Quarter. They will go to that visitor centre. They will see and listen to history of that greatest ship that ever came out of Belfast. But many ships came out of Belfast. They were propelled down the Belfast lock by those massive engines. They broke through the water and out into the open sea. That's the way our Christian faith, isn't it? That's what that's like, isn't it? Our Christians, through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, God propels us, each one of us, out into the open sea. He's the power behind us, isn't he? Driving us forward, cutting through the waves of life, equipping us for ministry. I was looking there during the week at Presbytery. There's two young men from our Presbytery are being called or are going to go out into PCI. Only two, yet there's more coming down the line. But one of them in particular, he's going across and up to Portrush for a year to stand in for the new moderator. So the new moderator came down to us and issued the call. We pray a blessing upon him as he goes and represents our church. Propelled into ministry. As Christians, we're propelled out of a church family here in this place, out into ministry. Are we being propelled by the Holy Spirit? Are we listening to the call of God? In our chapter 3 of Acts, we're reading there today about Peter and John. We read of Peter and John going up to the temple. They meet a disabled man. This man cries out for money. Peter replies, "Silver, gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." This man is helped to his feet. He leaps up. He praises God in the temple. His life has changed. And people are looking on. We read there in verse 10 that the people looking on are filled with wonder and amazement at what has happened to this man. Wow! It's an amazing miracle, isn't it? I love miracles. Most amazing miracle is the miracle of salvation. But this man is healed on this occasion. And God did that. God used Peter and John. They were apostles, but they noticed this man. They saw his need, and the need was met by God. From our passage today, we're going to see five things. We're going to see firstly the person. Then we're going to see the patient. We're going to see the providence, the provision, and the power. The person, the patient, providence, provision, and power. Couldn't have three today. That's a Presbyterian thing, having three. I thought I'd have five. But it gives us an insight into this ministry of Peter and John, but more so a ministry of God, because firstly, we see the person. We meet a person. Not talking about the the man lying there begging. I'm talking about Peter, the person that God was to use that had been propelled into ministry. I don't know what you think about Peter. Maybe you think about that humble big fisherman who was casting his net 1 minute and then he was out and about fishing for souls for men on the next occasion. You maybe think of that disciple who denied Christ as the cock crowed. And you maybe think of a person maybe like you that's weak in character but has learned to submit to Jesus. That journey of life we learn when we're saved, we learn during that journey of life to submit to Jesus. He was that spokesperson on the day of Pentecost. Many were saved. And with boldness he proclaimed the gospel from a meek and mild, humble fisherman. God propelled him into ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit to present the gospel with boldness. Is that you today? Do you think God will do that in your life? But he does that in all of our lives, doesn't he? But you will soon receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing, like ourselves, how the Holy Spirit, fully alert and alive, ministers into our lives so that we're able to proclaim that message of hope in his wonderful name. That's what we need to be doing in this war-torn land that we live in, this war-torn world we live in. We need to proclaim that message of hope to people that are in need. It is in the name of Jesus that we have this gospel message. As we look secondly at the patient that Peter met that day, this man that was lying there disabled. Now, I have already made the claim there's no doctors or nurses in here, and as far as I know. But maybe you have some connection with doctors and nurses. I know my two sister-in-laws are doctors. It's always good to have a doctor in the house on many occasions. I always joke that we have a fellow, David, there, and he works in A&E in Craigavon. And I always joke with David. I says, David, I'm just glad to sit beside you. See that one over there? I wouldn't want them near me. But David, you're all right. Just a bit of chat. I'll say that to them, to them all. Praise God for doctors and nurses. And maybe one young person here will end up doing that, because I always think it's a great thing for mission, going out into foreign lands. Praise God for the gifts that God gives us. But we meet people, don't we, in the doctor's surgery. We meet people in the hospitals. People that have illness and ailments and ill health. And the reason we have that is because we're so fragile, aren't we? We're so fragile. We always need reminded, and people do need reminded, that God holds us in the palm of his hand. Because we are wonderfully made. He sustains us right now. And he's continually caring for us as we pass through the scene of time. Being reminded the sovereignty of God, of his care and his love towards each one of us. This patient that Peter met that day, he was lying there crippled. The Bible tells us that he was a man disabled from birth. He was lame from his mother's womb. He was so disabled that people had to carry him. And there he was laid. I think this is great. The beautiful gate. Isn't that great? Being laid at the beautiful gate. But he was begging there. He was unable to have a living for himself. He begged for alms each day. In one sense, he was a miserable spectacle. I remember last year I was going to General Assembly, and I always have my coffee before I go in there because it can be a long sit. And I looked across the street outside Church House, and there's a fellow sat himself down. He knew where to sit. He knew there'd be a lot of people passing. No, he wasn't disabled, but he was begging. I passed him too. I didn't give him anything. Wasn't sure if he was legitimate or just having, just doing that, because he always did that. I wasn't sure. But there's people like that in our city today. There's people like that. begging and in need. There's people like that have left the country of Ukraine and are going into another country, and they are in need, and thank God as a church we can help that. But thirdly, today we need to notice something of the providence of God. We see Peter and John meeting a crippled beggar. They were alert into what they were doing. They were looking and seeing and noticing things round about. Sometimes we don't notice things. I drew attention to myself yesterday in South Belfast. I was knocking on a door and put a bit of literature in the door and went across the street, and this fellow called Colin, he came out across the street at me. He was bouncing. He must have had a situation with his partner that morning. I don't know. But he came out and he was ripping. He was fuming. And I looked and I says, must be my ginger hair. It's attracted somebody else. I hadn't even spoken to him. I could understand if I'd spoken to him and said something. But then I come across, he says, I don't want that. And he ripped it up and put it on the ground. I says, you're littering. That wound him up even more. And he said something. And I says, now you're swearing. I says, you're a very rude man. And I says, I'll maybe bury you someday. See, when I said that, that wound him up even more. He thought I was meaning something. I wasn't going to. I says, I'm a minister. I'm a missionary. That's what I do. Oh, right. And he toned down a bit in my conversation with him. But he was bouncing. Nothing wrong with his legs. I don't know what was wrong with him at all. Looked him up on the internet. Top man in the paramilitaries in that area. I went to the wrong house. But do you know what? It's not outside the grace of God. No one is outside the grace of God. Sure they're not. They may be a shout, and they've been brought up in a certain way. But we have to meet them where they're at, and that's what's important. Peter and John met that crippled man where he was at. They were watching out for him. God knew all about him. He says, I'm going to send Peter and John along there. I'm going to do a dealing with that man's life. Nothing happens by chance. Sure it doesn't. The providence of God, I love it. I love those encounters. I must say the one yesterday put the hair in my head, maybe stood up for a moment. But then the next minute you're in a house with a lady having a wee cup of tea. I says, this is a nice restaurant, I'll be back next week. But she says, will you pray with us, you Christian lady? 45 years married. Imagine that, 45 years. I'm 15. That's hard work. But God's good. But it's lovely just to see a wee lady, and she knew, and her wee husband's not saved. 45 years married to him. We're able to pray. You know what she says? She says, Alan, you pray for Ukraine. Isn't that the hearts go out? We care, don't we? Because we are God's church. God sends us to the people that we're meant to meet. That's what happened to Peter and John that day. I think of a girl called Kate. And Kate, we met her in East Belfast. And remember knocking on her door and presenting the gospel to her. She says, would you come back another day? So I came back. I was meant to come back with my wife, and something happened that night, and I didn't get back. And I says, I've let God down, because I didn't fulfill my word, didn't keep my promise. Kate rocked into our mission hall the following Sunday. She stayed. She got saved. She lost her job. She needed a wee bit of help. Our mission hall was able to help her with that. Then she became ill, and she eventually ended up in England. Before she went to England, she joined a local church in Lisburn. She said to the pastor, what could I do for the Lord? You can drive the bus. Kate drove the bus for God. She's in England now. I'll meet her again someday, but she's given me all her details because she wants me to take her funeral. Hope that doesn't come about soon. But that's what God does. We meet people, don't we? If we're willing to do what God asks us to do. God needed people to meet that man that was disabled, because God provides. That's the fourth thought today. God provides. Peter fastens his eyes on the man. The man looks at him. He expects money, but his expectations were flawed. He would receive, of course, something far better. Peter says there in verse 6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He didn't get money, but he received something far better than gold or silver. He got his life back. This miserable spectacle was to become an amazing miracle. You see, Peter had compassion for that man. Jesus was the person of compassion. How much more we share and have compassion for people, even if they're shouting and goldring at us and they reject us. But it's important they don't reject Jesus. Peter had a practical compassion for that man. He saw the man's need. And it wasn't money. It was the healing touch from God. Doesn't God always provide what we need? And he provides so much more. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a pastor and writer, he comments on a special relationship that God has with each one of us. Because my relationship with God is special, and so is yours. And it's the same, and we're all equal in the eyes of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones quotes from 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, this is what characterizes Jesus as the good shepherd, that he lays his life down for his sheep. He sheds his precious blood for each one of us on the cross, so that when we trust in the name of Jesus, we have our sin forgiven. Oh, that's provision, isn't it? That's what people need today. That's what Putin needs. He needs salvation. Pray God works and things are turned, and we can't work things out and say why things happen. But our God is a God of miracles. As we look into this passage today, we see the dominant theme, don't we? Of the great miracle of the love and grace of God. The love and the grace of God. Because we see that even in the apostles, the things that mark an apostle are signs and wonders and miracles. Now, I couldn't raise that. I know I couldn't do that. Because look at the people that are around about that we see, and they're disabled. Oh, we'll go bless them. But God deals with us in different ways. And he uses the wonderful miracle workers of doctors and nurses today to heal the sick. But God has the power to change people's lives. He had the power to change the cripple's life. And he used this power in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Fifthly, today we see there is power in the name of Jesus. Peter takes the man by the right hand. He lifts him up. Immediately his feet and his ankles. Immediately, notice that. It's immediate. Not like the ding-ding machine, you open the door and it takes 2 or 3 minutes to get the pasta cooked. It's immediate. God does a work in our lives. It is immediate. Can you picture this man jumping around? Amazing. Such a new lease of life. And what does he do? He goes in and he praises God. That's his testimony. He's saved. He's become a Christian. He's healed. And he speaks it out and he tells others. He is a miracle. In the name of Jesus Christ, the man was healed and could now walk. Oh, that's a miracle, isn't it? Walking and praising God. The people were astonished. This man that was crippled from birth is now walking. And people are amazed. They are amazed and they are in wonder. Are we in amazed and wonder at the mighty work of God in our lives? How he has saved us, how he has brought us from death to life. We see that the central to it is in the name of Jesus. God's power, you see, transcends self-effort. God is the one who receives the glory. Yes, each of us can do this, that, and the other. Some of us can do this, some of us can do that, some of us do the other. But we all complement each other. But it's only because of God. It is him that gives us the gifts. And we must use them. Because God is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is the God of miracles. He is the God that spoke this world into being. He's the God who allows things to happen. But he's the God who deals with things. And as Psalm 46 tells us, there's nobody outside or no thing, power, or anything out of his control. All he calls us to do is to trust. Will we go out and fulfill that great commission? Will we move forward in Christ together? Remember what verse 10 tells us. They were filled with wonder and amazement. The wonder and amazement of God. Do we have that zeal for the Lord? Or over this last 2 years, we've got slack. Don't seize the opportunities as we used to. Let me tell you, God is still the miracle maker. He is still the one that performs miracles. God is a God who saves. And ultimately, that is the thing that we have to present to a needy world. He is a great physician. It is a duty for each one of us as Christians to reach out and have compassion, to show the love to God and to our neighbor. I wonder, will you fulfill what it says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19? It says this, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That's what needs to happen. That's a transaction that needs to happen for each one of us. Has that happened to you? I encourage you, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Things of this earth will grow strangely dim. His mighty wonder and his grace. Let's close today with our final hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. A lovely hymn telling us of the wonder and splendor of God.
Thank you.
Father, our faith depends on you alone. We trust in you, the great and the sovereign Father. Our faith is being sure of what we hope for, uncertain of what we do not see. May the grace, love, mercy of Jesus go before us this week. Help us live for you, getting to know you better each day as we lift your holy name up and we present that name to others. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.